It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
The Mark Reardon Show.
The man's got guts. He's got oranges the size of beach balls.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say. Here I stand. I'm not backing down.
This is The Mark Reardon Show.
It's the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. You know, technology is an awesome thing, isn't it, Sue? You
yes.
just got to love it, especially
yes.
when it works, which for me at the moment, it's, you know, I'm trying to get it to work. What a crazy day that is going on. Donald Trump is just bound and determined to just set the world on its ass. That's just all there is to it. He came out with these announcements today that he started putting out there, and I think in the beginning, everybody was kind of like, yeah, all right, that makes sense. I saw that coming. And then he's wrapping up the day by going, hold my beer. Just, you know, let me show you how this stuff's going to work, you know. He's got Tulsi Gabbard that's in as the DNI. And
What's DNI?
Director of National Intelligence.
Okay.
So she's doing that.
That's good. She's smart.
She is smart. It's one of those appointments, I think, that he's doing, and Annie and those folks were talking about it earlier, that it's going to get some pushback from some folks. Some Republicans, for sure, are going to be ticked off about that, because it wasn't that long ago Tulsi was a Democrat, right?
Yeah.
So, and then she was independent, and then about, what, 2 months ago, she became a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's going to be in the cabinet. So you've got that going on, and I'm like, I don't have a problem with her.
I really don't. I don't have any kind of problem with her.
I don't have an issue with her. Some people will, but some people have an issue with Sunshine. So, you know, it's just going to be the way it is. But then it's like, okay, Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. A, I didn't even know Matt Gaetz was an attorney.
I don't know who he is. You're going to have to fill me in.
So Matt Gaetz is the guy who basically cost us our last Speaker of the House.
Oh.
Matt is the guy who likes to say, I'm going to set this thing on fire and watch it burn.
Okay, yeah.
So there's the guy right behind you. You can turn around and look at him there on TV or right here on TV. So he's the guy who was under investigation for liking younger ladies, shall we say.
Mm.
And so the House was looking at him for that. He's a guy who has a tendency to put the rest of the House on one side and him and a few others on the other. He's a Freedom Caucus guy, and he and Trump evidently have a very good relationship. But I didn't even know he was Attorney General. Eric Schmidt at one point was being talked about
yeah.
as somebody to be Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
And then our own Andrew Bailey was being talked about.
I saw that his name was in there.
Yeah, so he was a guy who was in the fray. and saying, hey, he could be the guy, which, to be honest with you, it would be great for Bailey to be the attorney general, and I would be happy for him. I would be disappointed for Missouri, but I would be happy for him to have that slot. I did not want Eric Schmidt to be attorney general, though, personally.
Yeah, he's great in the where he is.
I want him in the Senate, and I want him in the Senate for a long time. The only problem for a guy like Schmidt, the only problem with him being attorney general, to me, is you got 4 years, man, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be senator for four more years. He's not even up until 28. So he got elected in 22. You got a six-year term. He's not even going to be up for reelection until 28. So he doesn't really have anything to gain from that standpoint. And then in 4 years, what are you going to do? I would really prefer for him to be in the Senate for a while, because I think he's really good. I think he's really smart. And I think he can do a lot of great things for the state of Missouri and for the country itself. So I really didn't want him to go away and go do that. But yeah. He took his name out of contention, which I was very, very thankful for. Again, could be good for him. But long term, I think he has a longer career staying as senator. It just seems like all day long, Trump's cabinet has been, here comes another, here comes another, here comes another. So what did you think about the whole Elon Musk and Ramaswamy being the guys who are going to go find efficiencies in the government?
I think it's great.
I'm curious to see what that looks like. He said that he's giving them until July of 26 to get it done, which it is an interesting time frame. But you got two guys who are not D.C. guys.
Which is the whole point, I think.
I get it.
But they're also smarter than everybody in this room and possibly this building.
I get
you
it.
You know?
And they're, I mean, two really smart business guys. Elon Musk is a guy who is definitely a think outside of the box guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think the box is in the room when he thinks.
Right.
He is so far outside of it, right? So he, I think, is going to be amazing. I'm just curious about taking two guys who are not D.C. guys and making them in charge of cutting the D.C. budget. I'm wondering what's going to be the learning curve for them to figure out how the D.C. thing works. I was just talking to Tricia earlier about, you know, the system is the system.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hate the system and say the system is bad. And I don't disagree with you. But the system is the system. And if you don't know how the system works, it's going to be really hard to navigate it.
Well, think about it this way. Trump has done this once before. And he knows how things work and how difficult it can be when you don't.
Yes.
So I have to assume that this time, and this time he has said multiple times, I am going to take my time and pick what I really think now that I semi know what I'm doing.
Yep.
So I have faith in that. And I think that partly he's picking these two because they are on the outside, but also billionaires and brilliant. And I think he's interested in what they can come up with. And he's not saying you've got forever. Here's the end date. Let's see what you can do.
I was talking to somebody last night about his cabinet that he started with in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he got elected in 2016, I am going to give you a cabinet that will knock your socks off. It is going to be a rock star cabinet. And he did. He put together a cabinet of who's who people. The problem I think he ran into was he put together a cabinet of peers. He had an awful lot of people, like the head of ExxonMobil, who he makes as the Secretary of State. And while I think that part is great, if you have a lot of people who are used to being in charge, they're not necessarily good Indians. They're really good chiefs. And his first cabinet, I think, that he put together, he had an awful lot of chiefs, but not a lot of Indians. And I think what he's doing right now is he is putting together an awful lot of Indians who understand who the chief is.
And yeah, that's a fair statement.
I don't think he's going to get the pushback that he's gotten before. I mean, Susie Wiles, I think, has been with him since 2016.
Uh-huh.
Great chief of staff.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think also what he said was, I listened to a lot of long-form podcasts. And part of what he said originally when he first got into office was he was listening to people who said, well, here's who you want, here's how you do it.
Right.
And this time, he said, I learned.
Yep.
And this time, I am going to do it the way I see fit, and I know how it works, so let's go.
I mean, he talked about the fact of the thing I learned last time was I didn't know D.C.,
yeah,
and DC really has a learning curve. Mm-hmm. If you don't know it, you can easily get eaten by the machine. And I think in some cases he did, from the fact that they were able to keep him spinning on some areas where he didn't have a chance to do everything he wanted to do. I mean, when he talked about drain the swamp, I think what he was thinking was more of those Washington insiders. And I think what he figured out after he lost the election in 2020 was the bureaucrats are the ones I need to get rid of.
Well, yeah. The threat from within.
Yeah, those
are the ones. The corruption from within.
So when the Democrats talk about how Trump is going to line up the military and bring them to you and you are the threat from within. No, he's talking about the people who are entrenched in all of this stuff.
Right.
That are the faceless bureaucrats that you don't know who actually run the majority of the government agencies. And they're the ones that you're going to have to get out of there. And they're so entrenched with this. Shannon was asking what happened to Will Scharf. That's a good question. I mean, Will Scharf was running for attorney general in Missouri, but I had heard that Trump didn't want him to win attorney general in Missouri because he really wanted him on his team in D.C. So who knows, Shannon? There may be a place for Scharf in D.C. on Trump's team. It's just not going to be attorney general, obviously, because he put Gates there. So Susie Wiles is chief of staff. Elise Stefanik is the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Michael Waltz is the national security advisor. Tom Holman is the border czar, which we knew about. I didn't see this one earlier. Mike Huckabee is the ambassador to Israel.
Huh.
So we're going to put the Baptist minister is going to be the ambassador to Israel. I like Mike Huckabee. And it's good that Huckabee has been out there hawking all kinds of Trump stuff for a very long time. So it's good that he gets paid back. Environmental Protection Agency, which if there is an agency that needs to be gutted, that is the agency. The EPA, definitely.
Lee and the Zeldin, FDA.
Yeah. Lee Zeldin from New York is going to do that. Middle East envoy, Stephen Witkoff, White House counsel, William McGinley, John Ratcliffe is in as the CIA director. I believe he was the DNI in the former Trump administration. Then you've got Elon and Ramaswamy, who are doing this Department of Government Efficiency, which, by the way, is a completely made up office that he just created. And they're really, I think, going to focus as consultants for the president, and they're going to be advisors, and they're going to go in and do this stuff. Pete Hegseth, as Secretary of Defense, floored me.
But I don't know who that is.
So he's a Fox and Friends guy. He's on Fox and Friends on the weekend, and he does a lot of shows on Fox Nation. So he's a lieutenant colonel. He may be a major in the military. He is a guy who has been very critical of the Pentagon. And now he's going to be the guy in charge. And it just goes to show you, people in media can have other jobs, which excites me, Sue. That means,
I get it.
An opportunity, right? You could end up there. Kristi Noem from South Dakota is the Homeland Security Secretary. That one kind of surprised me, to be honest with you, especially after her whole I shot my dog type thing in her book. I really thought she was done.
And she put herself in all of those commercials.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
It was interesting.
I mean, she generally
is thought of as, I don't know,
the super hot governor.
Yeah.
I think she likes that. Oh, I think she likes that a lot. I'm completely with you on that. But it's kind of amazing of just kind of scrolling through all those and seeing who's going to be who. With Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard obviously being in there, and then having Matt Gaetz come in as Attorney General. Some things you didn't see, some things that I'm curious to see where that's going to go. Stephen Miller is back in as the deputy chief of staff for policy and Homeland Security advisor. He is a longtime Trump apologist, and he's going to do well. So there is a lot. Trump has been breaking news all day long. They did almost 2 hours with he and Biden today and their chiefs of staff. So it will be interesting to hear what came out of that meeting.
Right.
Because the part of the two of them together, they did like 2 minutes and that was it. Here's get the photo op and then get the out. Right. That was pretty much how that went. And then they sat there and talked. I am sick and tired, by the way, of KJP and her thing of there will be a peaceful transfer of power.
It's so annoying.
Hey, you know what happened January 20th of 2021? Do you know what happened that day?
A peaceful transfer of power.
Exactly. It's exactly what happened. Trump didn't bring in the military. Nobody got raided. Nothing crazy happened. He transferred over. January 6th? Yeah, that was an S storm. But by the time that was over, when we got to the 21st and we were doing that, everything was all good. We got to January 20th of 21 and everything went in a peaceful transfer of power. I am so glad she's going to be gone.
Me too.
And I am just waiting to find out who is going to be the new White House spokesperson. I wonder if Kayleigh McEnany's coming back.
I heard the name bandied about.
I could see that.
I know. I don't know.
It would be great to have her. So lots going on in national politics. There is a lot going on in state politics, by the way. And Scott Fawn is a guy who probably knows what's going on in Jeff City better than anybody that I know. So we are going to talk to Scott on the other side of the break. Find out a little bit about what's going on in Missouri politics, because after all, he is the host of This Week in Missouri Politics. So we will talk to him about what's going on. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. By the way, Mark will be back tomorrow and on the roundtable on Friday, Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, and Gene Evans. So that will be a good one. In the meantime, we're here holding down the fort on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark today. Mark is going to be back tomorrow. Sue, I know you miss it when Mark's not here.
I do, yeah.
It's so sad. Mm-hmm. You know, around St. Louis, you hear a little tear that falls, and that's what it is. I'm sure Jane Duker is the one who's crying right now.
Yes.
Speaking of Jane, she, Jeff Rainford, and Gene Evans are all going to be here on the big Friday Reardon Roundtable. So that should be fun. There is all kinds of fun that is going on. By the way, congratulations. They just announced that we hit 218 Republicans in the House. So it's official.
Ooh.
We now have the presidency, the Senate, and the House. We still have some races to be called, but it is official. The Republicans will keep control of the House. Now the question becomes, how many are we going to have? But, you know, the bigger question about that is, how many congressmen is Trump going to leave in the House? Because he keeps grabbing them to put in his cabinet. So the more that he does that, the more he's going to make things interesting. Speaking of Mr. Interesting, Scott Fawn.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Is joining us on the line. Scott, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm kind of surprised. Trump is full of surprises, but one of the congressmen he plucked out, Matt Gaetz, for attorney general. It's so funny. You read all these, oh, who's Trump thinking about? Who's Trump going to pick? There was long, long lists. Nobody had Matt Gaetz on it.
I didn't have him on my bingo card at all. I didn't think, that was
well,
not
Matt Gaetz is a freak and a weirdo. He looks like one of the Adams Family kids. But I'll tell you this, I think this is actually two good things, if you want the truth. It's wonderful for Missouri because we keep our outstanding Attorney General, Andrew Bailey.
We do.
Andrew Bailey, the war hero from Herman. I think that Missouri was a huge winner in this. And I actually think the Department of Justice is the most corrupt entity in the country. I think it's more corrupt than any drug cartel. It's more corrupt than any Venezuelan gang. I think the Department of Justice is a bigger threat to the average American than any exterior force in this world right now. And I think if you want to burn it down, I mean, Gaetz, I don't think is particularly a positive force in American politics, if you want the truth. But I think, you know, he's the kind of poison you would inject into that thing to kill it. And I think, great, the more he fires, the better.
You know, I can picture him standing there with a flamethrower and saying,
yes,
the DOJ is about ready to burn down. I could see him doing that. But, you know,
he'll walk in with the match.
I wonder if this is a deal that the speaker made with the president that said, hey, do me a favor, get this guy out of here because I am the speaker because of him. Right. So if it hadn't been for him, Kevin McCarthy would still be in this job. Probably. So
probably so.
He's probably like, hey, let's get Gaetz out of here. Put him in somewhere else where you can kind of control him and you can have sway over him, because I think Gaetz will do whatever Trump wants him to do. I really believe that part. I think it's going to happen.
And I really hope Donald Trump appointed him
what
so
is
that he would get rid of the Department of Justice and not get rid of it. Hang on a second, Scott.
We got feedback that just started happening. What is that? I'm in an echo chamber.
I can hear you. Feedback.
Are we good? Hey, we're good. All right. I don't know what that was.
Oh, I was about to do the Lou Gehrig speech.
we're all good. But I'm with you on Andrew Bailey. I like Andrew Bailey. I like having him here for Missouri. I think it would have been great for Andrew Bailey to be the attorney general. And I don't know that we've had a Missouri attorney general there since John Ashcroft.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I don't think there's been a Missouri in that job, but I'm glad. You know, it'd be great to pick a different Missouri attorney and stick him in there. David Gregory, pick David Gregory.
There you go.
I think I personally think we need Andrew Bailey here in Missouri. I don't think the federal government really does anything worthwhile. If you want the truth, ask the people in North Carolina. I think they'd agree with me. But he does real things that make a big difference for Missouri here as the Missouri Attorney General. I'd hate to see him go to work for the federal government. It's just a worthless entity. I think he's much better off here in Missouri, and I'm thrilled that Missouri dodged this bullet. And I do hope Trump, though, picks Sam Grace for Transportation Secretary. That would be great for this state. I'm at the lake today. If you want to know what would actually matter to folks here on the lake today, it would be a transportation secretary from Missouri. We'd build some bridges in this state if Sam Graves is picked, and I hope he is. But I'd be very glad to see Andrew Bailey do the 8 years he's kind of said he would do as Missouri's attorney general.
Well, tell me a little bit about, I mean, your show is This Week in Missouri Politics. By the way, who did the midweek show today?
I had Barklage on, so always an entertaining time when you have Barklage on.
It is.
We get to talk a lot about the new speaker challenge.
So that's one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. If folks aren't familiar with what's going on with that, bring them up to speed as to where we sit right now with the Missouri Speaker of the House.
Well, the Missouri Speaker of the House is elected by designee by the caucus. They did a formal vote last September and elected John Patterson unanimously to be this what they call the Speaker designee. He went out, took over the House Republican Campaign Committee, had a historic night where they went in with 111. Nobody, you and me were talking on my F-150 tour in the studio.
Yep.
There's no way you keep 111. They kept 111 under Speaker Patterson. They had another vote with the caucus a week ago, the day after the election. They all unanimously elected Patterson. And then Sunday night, Justin Sparks, a politician from the St. Louis area, announced he was going to run. Now, honestly, it's a little odd. His main beef, I've watched his videos, Justin Sparks is a very compelling speaker, presents himself very well on the radio and on these videos. He says he doesn't like having to raise money to reelect his fellow members. Well, I ask Philip Bowler King and Ben Keithley. I think they're pretty tickled with HRCC. I don't think – ask Brad Crist. I think Brad Crist is pretty happy with HRCC. And if you hadn't raised that money – and, I mean, most of these races, the Republicans outspend the Democrats 10-15-1. In Brad Crist district, I mean, it was hugely expensive.
Right.
And you had to have that money. So I guess if you want a smaller majority, you would do it differently. But I it's an awfully odd time to take on HRCC when they just had one of the most successful nights in the history of the Missouri Republican Caucus. And then I think too, there's a couple practical problems here. One, most members have already given their word. Now some politicians lie.
Right.
Newsflash, right? Water's wet. But a lot of politicians that I've interviewed, too, this week, Cameron Parker from the Boot Hill, she says, I give my word, and the Boot Hill, my word matters. And I'm not going to go back on my word, and I think Patterson's done a good job. I interviewed Dane Deal from the extreme western part of the state, and he said, yeah, I gave my word, and I'm not considering at all changing. I think Sparks has a few problems. One is folks have given their word. Number two, Patterson running HRCC, he led them to the most successful night they've ever had. They've never defended that kind of majority before that they did on election night. And number three, he's a freshman. And so there's a lot of upperclassmen that are like, well, some of the stuff you're saying is a little naive. And then some of the folks just plainly think they should be speaker or one of their allies should be speaker. And if a freshman becomes speaker, that ties that office up for 6 years.
Right.
And no one else can have it. And I think that those are just part of the realistic things here. I wonder, the end game here. I know he's in the Freedom Caucus, which is generally designed to take out Republican leadership and Republican legislation. I don't know if even that caucus has publicly backed him. I think he's got the backing of one rep from Northwest Missouri, a young lady, Maisie Boyd. I think she just recently was married. Her name is Maisie Christensen. I saw her like the post. So I assume that is some kind of indication that she would be with him. I talked to Barclays today on my midweek update, and he kind of thought it probably doesn't get to an actual vote, but you could have some people vote present in the speaker's election. And his thought was, if you get up to around 15 or 20 of those, then it shows a real division in that House caucus. So
right.
I think maybe look to that vote as 15 to 20 is the number that it would be interesting to see if he got to.
I don't know that I don't remember, so I don't know if it's happened. Has this challenge ever been mounted before since we've had term limits?
Well, you've had highly contested elections. What you normally have is a extremely contested election for floor leader.
But
then the floor leader gets
do
a
you
chance
have that
to run
after
the floor and,
after the caucus votes? I
no.
mean, so once the
I've
caucus
never seen
votes,
this. No.
I haven't seen anybody challenge after the caucus votes. I'm with you to
never
where
have.
You've had contentious stuff that's happened for different positions. And I mean, you just had the floor leader, the whip, the speaker pro temp, and the speaker all elected. What was that? A week ago? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that was Wednesday.
Yeah. So okay. So that just got done last week. That got in there. So you've got this leadership team who has already been having meetings. Because I reached out to Chad Perkins earlier today, who's the speaker pro temp that's coming in. And he was saying, mm-hmm. I got meetings this whole week of things that are going on. They are working on hitting the ground running when they hit office in January. So I don't know what the likelihood is that something would actually happen, that people would actually vote for this. But I understand Barklage's point to where if you have 15, it kind of gets back to what we saw with the National House of Representatives, where they were doing that whole thing with Kevin McCarthy. You have a group of folks who are just going to hold out and hold everybody hostage and see where that's going to go.
You're lucky the House has a large majority. 15 cannot show up even.
Right.
And it's not going to change much, but there will be, the media will censure on this. The media loves to show division amongst Republicans. There'll be some conservative talk show host that this will be a good rallying cry for them to do their favorite pastime, which is hate on Republicans. I think it could be a quite divisive measure, not so much in the votes, but it'll make it more contentious. It'll make it harder to pass Republican legislation.
Talking with Scott Faughn, host of This Week in Missouri Politics, with about a minute left to go, what happened on election night that surprised you, if anything, from a Missouri standpoint?
I was surprised that the group led by Mike Kehoe was able to come in and tighten the margin on the abortion referendum as much as they did. I wasn't surprised that the Get Sports Betting was close. But I was surprised that the work they did, the $3 million they brought in, I was surprised that they were able to pull that together in such a short period of time and actually make that a pretty competitive race. When I thought it would be more like 5-6 points, they narrowed it to a couple, 2 or 3, whatever it was. I was surprised by the margin being so small on the abortion referendum, and I think it forebodes in 2 years there'll be another one of these.
I started to say, you and I have had that conversation before. I don't think that's the end of this. I think you're going to see in 2 years somebody's going to come back, and we're going to have a second bite of the apple.
I think that's right. And the question is going to be, I've heard many groups say, we're going to challenge the right to life. We're going to have a competing group. They usually do they have a mediocre year, and they fizzle out. If Mike Kehoe will commit to raising funds for another group that is more of a inclusive, more positive message, right to life group, I think I like the chances of it being overturned. I'm pro-life. I'm the son of a teenage mother. But I have a positive story about it. I don't like the screaming and yelling and shaming, and it turns me off. And I have a very personal reason to be pro-life. But I'm pro-life because it's positive. I'm pro-life because I like to smile when I talk about why you should be pro-life, not scowl and scream.
Well, I'm with you. That is Scott Faughn, host of This Week in Missouri Politics. So we will see you on TV on Sunday.
Yes, sir. We're having Garrett Hawkins, the president of Rural Missouri, our pre-Thanksgiving edition of This Week in Missouri Politics, a week early.
Well, I feel like there's going to be some turkey on the set.
Well, that's a great idea, actually. There wasn't, but now there's probably going to be.
You know, good call. I feel like you should have a turducken there just to keep the whole Thanksgiving tradition going.
Oh, love John Madden with a turducken. Love it.
That's what I'm here for, brother, to help you with great ideas. That is Scott Faughn, man. We appreciate the time. That is Scott. Watch out for him on that F-150 tour as he's been making his way around Missouri. So other things that got passed in this past election was Missouri voted to raise the minimum wage. There were a lot of communities out there who said, I don't think that's going to be good for business. We're going to talk to one of those, and that is Ray McCarty. He is the president and CEO of the Associated Industries of Missouri. We will talk to him on the other side. It's Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today. Hope your day is going well. You know, we're getting to those kind of cloudy, dreary, wintry type days that just seem to zap your energy, don't they? So I'm looking forward to getting to the weekend, looking forward to Thanksgiving. Hope your Thanksgiving plans are going well. One of the things that got done earlier in the election last week was Missouri approved a minimum wage approval, Prop A, that was there. Ray McCarty is going to join us. He is the president and CEO of the Associated Industries of Missouri. Ray, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. Appreciate you making the time here. So for folks who probably didn't read that much past the headline, because I think when you get into some of these constitutional amendments, some of these propositions, a lot of times, especially with a ballot as long as what we had this time, it felt like a lot of folks just didn't have the time, the interest, whatever you want to give them, to dig past that headline. So for the people who voted for Prop A, what did they really vote for, in your opinion?
Well, you know, Mike, that's a good question that a lot of voters, I don't think, really knew what they were voting on when they voted for Prop A. So Prop A increased the minimum wage eventually to $15 an hour, but it also had a paid sick leave requirement in it. And some of the commercials, you know, were heartbreaking about, you know, a worker trying to choose between picking up their child from school or getting a paycheck. Of course, you know, we understand providing paid sick leave is a good thing, and most employers that are able are already doing that in order to attract quality employees. But this mandates that every employer provide paid sick leave, and we think one of the worst parts of the proposition is the fact that it allows lawsuits against employers that are trying to control the use of sick leave. So we've all worked at places where, you know, you have coworkers that are abusing the sick leave policy. Whenever someone calls in sick, that increases the stress and the workload on all the other employees that are there. So, you know, there are very good reasons why an employer would want to control the use of that sick leave. But if an employer tries to do that under the provisions of this law, they will be subject to a lawsuit by the employee, which we see as kind of a trap for the unwary, if you will, for the employers that don't even realize perhaps that they are laying themselves open for a lawsuit. Something as simple as asking your employee why they're calling in sick, or trying to require a doctor's excuse. The proposal specifically says employers may not ask for a doctor's excuse unless someone uses 3 days in a row of sick leave. So you could use 2 days in a row of sick leave. You could come back to work for a few hours and leave again. And the employer can't ask you why you're sick and can't require a doctor's excuse for the use of that leave. So a lot of little tricks buried in that proposition we don't believe a lot of people were aware of when they adopted that proposition.
Well, obviously, we're going to go to $13.75 in January, but do all of these provisions kick into January?
No. January is when the minimum wage hike starts. Then it finishes up the following year. January 1st, it'll go to $15 an hour. The paid sick leave kicks in May.
Okay.
And we're working with a coalition of business groups, including Associated Industries, the Missouri Chamber of Commerce, the Missouri Grocers Association, the retailers, the restaurants, the NFIB, to look at ways we might be able to stop this in court, because there were really two questions, at least two distinct questions rolled into one on the ballot. I mean, you had to take the minimum wage and the paid sick leave, and it was an all-or-nothing proposition. So if you supported one or the other, you had to adopt both. And that violates the Constitution. We have a constitutional requirement that you present voters with the opportunity to vote on just one subject at a time, not two. And so we're looking at our options there and exploring that now. We may be able to launch a legal challenge. If we are, we're hopeful that we can stop that before it goes into effect in May.
So we're talking with Ray McCarty. He's the president and CEO of Associated Industries of Missouri. Is there anything that the legislature can do when they come in to maybe offset this or get it kicked down the road or something like that?
Right. So, Mike, the legislative session starts in January. It is a statutory change, so it is something that the legislature would be able to address, and we will be exploring that depending on the outcome of our legal challenge, or if we decide not to move forward with the legal challenge, we would certainly try to do some kind of a bill to at least make some of these provisions more reasonable. You know, whenever you take the ability of an employer to regulate sick leave, you really are taking those the opportunity to protect their employees from getting sick, as well as the customers, and then also trying to protect the, you know, in scheduling and making sure that you have the proper employees on hand to address your needs. It's very difficult when you have out of control sick leave use And we think that's just something employers should be able to control. And this really takes that away from the employer and says you can't do it. And if you do, the trial attorneys will be right there to help sue.
Well, Ray, we appreciate you coming on and unpacking this a little bit. Unfortunately, people never seem to pay attention to things until after the fact. And then they start realizing, oh, wow, so that's actually what we voted for. So we appreciate you coming on and kind of unpacking the thing after the fact. And we'll be watching to see where it goes from here.
Well, I appreciate it. And if you want more details on all of the things that the amendment actually does, you can go to our website at AIMO.com, and we have a couple of articles out there on the subject.
I appreciate the time today. Thanks very much. That is Ray McCarty. Sue's News is coming up on the other side here at 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.